got some aches and I got some pains and I got some wounds to buy.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This just is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And you know what time it is. It's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Mike requested this song
a few years ago. I'm reading an article about Ian and Sylvia.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget sitting in the fraternity house in 1965.
Okay.
Everyone was listening to Ian and Sylvia.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was kind of one of their cover songs.
It says here it's from the album Northern Journey, 1964.
64.
And the pictures, he looks like James Dean.
Like I said, they were from Canada.
But it
was something that in 65,
right?
We were young and stupid.
But there was another version of this, too. I remember hearing somebody else sing this song.
Oh, I think a lot of people have sung this song. Yeah, exactly.
So, oh, my gosh.
So if I have any Ian and Sylvia fans out there, I want to hear from you this morning,
okay.
If I could.
850-437-1620. We may have to change the title of this show from the Garden Line to the Oldie to Goldies. The Oldie Goldie Show. We'll play all our favorites from the 60s and 70s.
Oh, my goodness.
850-437-1620. If you've been sitting all week thinking what you want to ask Mike Wiggins about gardening, landscaping, winterizing, everything that's going on right now with this crazy weather, 850-437-1620. Text it on in.
Well, and I guess my memory isn't what it should be, but I really don't remember, Meg, having this long a stretch of very cold weather.
I don't either. Here.
Into the 20s.
No.
I really don't.
And maybe a day or two?
Exactly. I mean, we've had like single digits, back in the 80s, and, it was a horrible deal, but it came and went. This just hung around and hung around. So what I did, I made a little list here of what's going to happen in the next couple of days.
Okay.
Which really is probably pretty good news. We're going to go up to 66 today.
Stop it.
Oh, I know. A low tonight of...
Quick, break out the bathing suits.
57. Tomorrow it's going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to go back to 32, a low on Thursday. But then on Friday it gets better. 62 high, 45 low. Saturday, 64 high, 41. And then I looked ahead. Next week, we actually get back into the 70s.
Oh, good.
Next week.
Okay.
That'll feel like a heat wave, I'll tell you.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Well, so, how do you think the plants are reacting? How are the gardens reacting to all this?
Well, here we are on the Garden Line, and, we take pride in trying to answer some questions here, and hopefully we get most of them right. But I'll tell you right now, I am not sure. I would love to hear some of our listeners kind of weigh in on this as to exactly what is going to happen, let's say long term, mm-hmm. as we move into spring with our plants reacting to this very, very cold weather at night, going into the low 20s or even the teens. Obviously, any of the tropicals and that type of thing, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to save them. You never know, because the trick, not the trick, but the thing you need to do, of course, is do not prune anything at this point. Just don't do it, because you don't really know what's alive and what's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a hibiscus, for example. Just let it sit there till we get into some warmer weather, and then, obviously, scratch the bark, and if it's green, you're probably going to be okay. And then come, say, March, you could probably go ahead and cut it back and let it try to come back. That may not happen. Many of these plants may have just had it from this very, very long cold spell we've had. And I think I told a story about back in the 80s. I think it was the 80s. I don't think it was the 70s. But we went to single digits. We went to 9 degrees. Oh, it was horrible. Just horrible. But in any event, obviously, we had a lot of plants, just like we've had, not survive. But many of the plants, I'm going to use this as an example. Japanese yew. I think I've used this example before. Japanese yew. I had a friend of mine had Japanese yew on either side of his front door.
Mm-hmm.
A basic plant, bulletproof. Nothing ever happens to it. It's a great tall.
What does it look like?
You plant it because it has height to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a thin plant, long foliage on it. A great plant. In any event, come June, maybe it was even July, he said, my Japanese yews are just dying.
Oh, no.
What's going on here? I said, well, I don't really know. We'll take a look. But the end of the story is what had happened to the Japanese yew in that very, very cold weather was it had sustained split bark. Split bark, kind of at ground level, you go up and the bark literally is split.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not good. And the plant's not going to make it.
Oh, no.
So if we're going to be experiencing some of that with some of our traditional landscape plants that we don't ever worry about,
mm-hmm.
insofar as cold damage is concerned, it's going to be very interesting to see. No real way to know. No real way to know. But you even could take a look at it now. But I think as we get into spring and early summer, we may see some of that long-term damage.
Well, it's funny. We got a text in from our friend Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping.
Oh, Paul, weigh in on this, will you? What do you think?
He says a long cold spell can do more harm than a short, hard freeze.
Absolutely. A quick hit
mm-hmm.
is not bad. I look at what we just talked about. We're going to have rain on Wednesdays and a low of 32 on Thursday, and then a low of 45 on Friday. You know, that's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll survive it. Even so much of the citrus that we have, the kind of the coldest or the kind of the point where they are going to sustain damage is around the low 20s.
Did you see the photos from South Florida?
Oh, yes.
That never gets that kind of
weather.
And they were just covered. They looked brown, some of the citrus fruit that they had from the trees.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be a terrible thing for the crop.
A lot of the citrus
mm-hmm.
farms, if you will, really after that big cold we were just talking about.
Right.
They moved, the whole industry moved further south
mm-hmm.
because they found out that it was just, if this is going to happen, we can't, like business is not going to survive.
They can't sustain it.
Exactly. So they moved it a little further south. But even at that, I think the temperature in Miami, somebody correct me, was in the 30s.
Well, Tampa actually had snowflakes.
Did it really?
Yes. They showed up. Not a lot, but... Can you imagine? I mean, people are moving that down there in Fort Myers, that area. They get away from this stuff.
I bet they close the schools.
Oh, everything. There's not a snowplow to be found, or a shovel for that matter, probably.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Okay, well, we're here with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. If you've got a question or comment, please text it in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and I know that Mike has a whole list of things to talk about this morning. So we'll be right back on Pep Talk. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. Mike, we got a text in from Steve on Escambia Bay, and he sent in a beautiful picture of his citrus trees. He says, as you see, my potted lime and lemon trees are confused in the greenhouse, but my citrus in the yard, even covered, didn't fare as well. That's from Steve.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. The picture he sent.
It's beautiful. It looks good. It got blues.
All the blossoms on it.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I wonder what the temperature went down to in Steve's greenhouses.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, text that to us, Steve.
It'd be interesting to know. But the outside citrus, yeah, I think a lot of that is going to be it's going to be problematic. But we'll have to see. We just never know.
You never know.
You never know. And it depends on where you were. And remember, we talked about this. Oh my goodness, a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer than that, about making a microclimate, planting near in your yard, which would call it a microclimate, but planting really in the right place on the south side of the house.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes.
By the street,
mm-hmm.
by the driveway, by the swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
Just because those places are going to have a little more heat than just out in the wide open spaces. So you got to kind of think about that as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to have this kind of crazy weather,
right?
Snow and ice and whatever.
Who knows what?
Who knows, whatever.
Okay, got another text just came in. Says, good morning. I went to Pensacola Seed and Garden yesterday and bought pre-emergent from Larry. Should I wait or go ahead and spread? And that's from Ashlyn, and she's in Perdido.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, it's just so, it kind of goes against your mindset that, You know, we just came off of this crazy weather into the 20s, and we're talking about treating the lawn. You know, you would think that, you know, just let it go and let's see what happens. No, I think you need to kind of stick to at least mid to late February to put that pre-emergence on, because it's, I will tell you right now, the winter weeds, once we get into the 70s next week,
yep,
you're going to see winter weeds start to crop up.
Really?
So you need to get the pre-emergence on before a lot of these weeds come up. It's not perfect. That's the whole thing. We always say that. Pre-emergence is not perfect, but it will help, especially if historically you've had a major weed problem in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had the date, February 15th.
That's really, you
know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to put the pre-emergence on February 15th. Well, I think that, you know, as we've been so cold, if you waited a little longer.
Maybe another week or
maybe
so.
Maybe
days,
let's say in the month of February.
Okay.
Let's get that pre-emergence on there.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you went out to Pensacola Seed and Garden and saw our buddy Larry. They've got a nice place out there. And I'm sure he sold you exactly the right stuff.
Yeah, thank you for texting that in.
And we appreciate it.
Got a response from Steve about the greenhouse. We were talking earlier about his greenhouse. He'd moved some of the citrus trees in there. He says, with two heat lamps, the greenhouse stayed in high 40s and low 50s.
You're fine.
So that's good.
That's exactly what you needed. That is great.
Okay.
Good for you.
Got another question that came in, another text. And if you have a text for Mike, 850-437-1620, this is the garden line. So pretty much anything goes if it has something to do with plants, lawns, gardens, landscapes. So this question is, when I spray my liquid atrazine February 15th, as you have suggested, will that take care of the crabgrass as well?
Atrazine is probably going to help with your crabgrass. Now, I have found over the years that crabgrass is tough. It is really tough, but it will help from a pre-emergent standpoint, help your future problems with crabgrass. Yes, it will help. Now, it's not going to kill. If you've got a crabgrass, you've got a patch of it right now, that atrazine is probably not going to kill it. But this will certainly help moving forward.
No, it's February 15th on that.
Oh yes, same deal.
Same thing. You have to wait a little bit.
Not long. Mm-hmm. Not long. February for sure. But yes, crabgrass is tough, but the pre-emergence will help. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
No doubt about it. You know, there's some people that will use a total kill, a non-selective herbicide on crabgrass. If they can isolate it, in other words, if it's in one spot and you spray a non-selective on there, which is systemic and goes into the roots, that will help with crabgrass. But it is the toughest weed we have, exactly, except for torpedo grass. Anybody who has torpedo grass knows exactly what I'm talking about. That is the world's worst as trying to eradicate that.
Okay. Got another question coming in this morning. If you have one, please send it in, 850-437-1620. Mike Wiggins, rocks. When is the best time to cut back my 8 crepe myrtles?
Great question. I had mine done the week before the cold.
Oh!
I can't do it anymore. They're too tall. I have a young man who, every year, he cuts them back for me. Because I don't cut them back far. I just cut back, you know, maybe come back a third.
Mm-hmm.
Just cutting off some of that old growth. So I'd say go for it.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, and I totally misread that, basically, because it's spelled R-O-X. What he meant was Mike Wiggins rocks.
Oh, rocks.
Nobody, totally misread that. I'm so sorry.
Nobody's ever said that.
Mike Wiggins rocks is what he meant, so my apologies, but he's saying to cut back.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, I think to cut back your crepe myrtle, the time is right. And we say this every year and for every week this time of year, do not commit crepe murder. Whatever you do, don't take that tree that, say, is 10 feet tall and cut it back to 5 feet. That's wrong. So what it's going to do, it's not going to kill it. You really couldn't kill a crepe myrtle if you really tried. What it's going to do, it's going to send out new growth in the spring. They call it witch's broom because it's a bunch of little bitty limbs coming up when you cut it back that far. And there are places in Pensacola, you can drive around and you can see where people have cut the crepe myrtles back that far every year, and there's a big knot right, you know, oh, say 4 to 5 feet off the ground where people have cut it all the way back. It'll live and it'll bloom, but it's really ugly if you do that. Oh, no. Do not cut back too much.
Okay, that question.
And, one last thing. If you're looking for a tall, you don't have to cut it back at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bloom on new wood, new growth. So, no, you can leave it alone. You don't have to cut it back at all. But I like to keep mine kind of manageable at the old 15-foot height range, and that's worked for me.
Okay, and we just got a thank you text and for that input from Phil Woolley, he says. And he was the one that texted about the crepe myrtles, so he said thank you.
Phil Woolley, one of the great real estate guys in Pensacola. The guy's amazing. He's amazing. We appreciate him listening.
Okay, thanks, Phil. All right, we have a couple more questions that have come in, but we're going to take a quick break. The text line is 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. Yes, this is Meg on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I hadn't heard that promo before.
Oh, no, where did that come from?
I don't know. That's a good one, though.
I like
okay.
It. I like it.
If you're just joining us, this is The Garden Line. We're here every Tuesday from 9 to 10 with Mike Wiggins. He is our gardening expert, and we've had some great texts coming in, and I've got another one for you real quick here before we go to the news. If I dig up the crabgrass patch... This is the person that sent in about the atrazine. If I dig up the crabgrass patch, how deep do I need to dig to remove the roots? Ooh, that's a good one.
We've been doing this show for years. Nobody's ever asked that question before.
Oh.
That is a very interesting question. I'm going to kind of dance around it a little bit.
He looked at me. I said, don't look at me.
I was saying, Meg, what do you think?
Don't look at me.
I think, number one, it probably depends on the maturity of the crabgrass. If it's been there for years, the root system is going to be a little more extensive. I think you just need to keep digging until you get most of that root system out of there. That's easy to say and hard to do. I was going to say you at least got to get 5 to 6 inches into the soil. But what happens is with crabgrass and with most other weeds like crabgrass, which is a perennial weed, if you leave a little bit of the root system in there, eventually it'll come back.
Mm.
It'll come back. That's one reason crabgrass is so tough to control. But if you do use a non-selective crabgrass, which keep in mind, if you use a non-selective herbicide, you're going to kill all the other grass that's intermingled with that crabgrass. It'll kill everything. But it's systemic, and it works from the foliage into the roots. So you're going to kill the whole entire mm-hmm. plant. Now, if you use many of the non-selectives, you'll find that they are systemic, but they don't sterilize the soil. If they don't sterilize the soil, you can go back and put in some sod or plugs or whatever to compensate.
Is crabgrass indigenous to this area, or is it like kudzu that when they brought it in and it just spread?
You know, that's a good question. I would guess that it's probably indigenous to our area.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around obviously forever. But
I'm just curious.
That's a great question, though, Meg.
Because I remember when kudzu suddenly was the thing in the Atlanta area all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's like mole crickets. They came in on a boat into Glencoe, Georgia. And made us, but I mean, really.
Wow.
There's a lot of that going on. We need to refer that to our research department.
Yes. Okay, research department, wake up.
Yeah, they're a little asleep over there right now.
You're sleeping over there, snoozing under the covers in the cold.
That's right.
This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We will be back right after the news. So if you've got a text it on in at 850-437-1620. We love hearing from you. This is Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is time for The Garden Line. This half hour, Mike Wiggins is here to answer all your questions about gardening and flowers and plants and landscaping. And we've already had a slew of questions coming in on the text line, so do text it in, 850-437-1620. We had a question in the previous half hour about crabgrass and a crabgrass patch, and Mike wanted to add something to that.
Right. I just want to add one thing to that. I don't want to take this all the whole show. But if you do have some patches of crabgrass, and it's only crabgrass, not good grass in there, what a lot of people, I say a lot of people, some people do, they'll get a shovel and you'll kind of dig a little trench all the way around that patch of crabgrass and then use a product like Roundup. Now, we talked about Roundup last week and we won't get all into that. That Roundup does not contain glyphosate. If you remember, it's a chemical that got Roundup in a lot of trouble. It has a new chemical that should work just as well. But if you cut that trench around that patch and spray with Roundup, that should kill just the crabgrass. Because if you don't do that, the Roundup is systemic and could go into your good grass. But if you've got that trench cut around the crabgrass, you might keep it from doing that.
That's very smart.
Also, one other thing to keep in mind. When you go to your garden center and you'll see some weed killers called brush killer, you'll say, well, that's good. That'll take care of that crabgrass. It will. Kill it dead as a doornail.
But I see a butt coming.
But it will sterilize the soil, so
Ooh.
Nothing will grow
oh,
there.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, that Roundup will not sterilize the soil. So
okay.
anyway,
good
I
advice.
just wanted to clear that up.
Well, earlier I had asked you a question about the origins of crabgrass, and so Paul with Blue Sky sent in a text and said, most crabgrass is invasive and introduced, but there are a few native species from further south. So that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Okay. So we got another question that came in, and this is a totally different topic. This is from Jake. So thanks, Jake, for texting in. It says, we accidentally left our elephant ear plant on the patio during the cold snap, and it looks like it may have killed it. Will that come back if we just leave it alone?
I'm gonna say yes. Now, if it's in a container, keep in mind that the root system and all that, because just from the side of the container, is subject to all that cold weather. Whereas if it's planted in the ground is going to keep it a little bit better. Now, I have a great elephant ear. This year it grew about, 6 feet tall, maybe 7. Last winter, it totally died back.
Huh.
I waited till March, then I cut it back. Maybe about, let's say a foot, maybe 2 feet off the ground, and it came back great. So I'm going to say yes, because the elephant ears it doesn't take much cold to knock them back.
Mm-hmm.
But they generally will come back in the spring.
They just look so pitiful.
Oh, it looks so horrible.
I mean, they do.
Now, I found that the upright elephant ear, the one I really like, versus the traditional elephant ear that kind of leans over, is going to come back a little stronger than the other one, and maybe a little quicker. But if I had an elephant ear in a pot, and I would just let it sit there, let's get into March, another month, cut it back, see what happens.
Okay, good advice.
I bet it'll work.
Okay.
I'm optimistic.
Okay, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, talking about gardening and plants and lawns and everything you can think of that's green, and maybe not so much right now. But here's another text that came in. I don't have a name on this one, but it's a photo of a citrus plant that's in a pot. And it says, hey guys, it's been a few weeks ago now, but this is my method for protecting citrus during a hard freeze. The bucket is filled with boiling water. I cover the tree and the capped bucket of water with a large sleeping bag for the night. This bucket acts as a thermo battery. Hope the picture helps. That's an interesting way to do it.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Using a bucket of boiled water and a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Wow. I need to, next break we have, let me come over and look at that picture.
Yeah, it's just the bucket acts as a thermo battery.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very smart, though.
Oh, very, very smart.
See, I would think that, to me, the boiling water would be too hot for the plant, but maybe not. I guess not.
No, it works for these folks.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Think about this business of horticulture and landscaping and all that. There's so much to learn. And we learn something, really, every week from our listeners. We really do.
Okay, the one that asked about the elephant ears, it was Jake that used to do the show. I didn't realize this, that Jake. So Jake says, thanks so much. Please tell Mr. Wiggins I was doing this. Thanks. Please tell Mr. Wiggins I miss doing the show with him. Sounding great. That Jake.
Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Jake. I hope our listeners remember Jake.
He's a
Jake
sweetheart.
Jake was a great, great guy. Jake was a musician.
Yeah.
A talented musician and also a talented radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good.
Terrific.
So, Jake, I hope you're doing well. Great to hear from you.
And be careful of those elephant ears.
Yes. 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 They're going to come back.
They're going to come back. We're all rooting for you.
Just for you. No, exactly.
850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Mike, now is the time to text it on in. So we had several of those questions that we talked about already, about crabgrass we've been talking about, what to do now. So you were saying earlier to maybe we're going to hold off a little bit on the pre-emergent now because
weather. Not long.
We always said February 15th.
It's February 15th because this Thursday we're going to 32. But as I said, next week, now this is garden line weather forecast. And I'll have to tell you, our listeners know that we are always wrong.
Oh, no.
We don't do too well with our weather forecasting. Remember, we used to have the chart about the first freeze and the first time we have no freezes. And we threw that one away.
Have you looked at the Farmer's Almanac? That's always the thing.
No, that's a great
idea. That's what my dad used to say, Farmer's Almanac.
Absolutely, absolutely. But in any event, we just have to be careful. But I don't want to put off that pre-emergence very long. I really don't. And if it's going to be 70 degrees next week, and it looks like the weather is going to be cooperative, I'd go ahead and do it next week or the week after.
Okay.
For sure. Because once again, once the weeds come up, too late. It's a pre-emergence. That's what it is. What it says. It keeps them from emerging. But once they've emerged, it's a little late.
Okay. That's the great advice from Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we will be back. Still time for your questions. Send them on in at 850-437-1620. Having fun on the Garden Line this morning with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Having a bunch of those texts coming in. We're going to try to get to all of them. This one says, I had kumquat bushes that won't produce. I've had them for 6 years. What can I do?
Oh, you know, and that's one of the toughest questions we get on the Garden Line is, you know, why won't my tree produce? Why won't my plant bloom?
Mm-hmm.
Those are hard questions to answer. I think you have to kind of look at the whole picture. Number one, look at the plant itself. Be sure that it was bought from a reputable dealer, that it has a good rootstock to it.
Right.
If it has a good rootstock, that is the first thing you need to do. Number two, be sure that any of the foliage coming out of that kumquat is not coming from the base. If it's coming from the base of the plant, about ground level, that's coming from the rootstock, and that's never going to produce. Number two, or number three, I can't count here. You got to look where it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in the full sun or close to it, that could easily be part of the problem also. And sometimes you just have to give up and say, you know, I'm going to go see Larry at Physical Seed and Garden. I'm going to buy a kumquat that we know has been grafted on good rootstock. It's a good variety that grows here.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. And then I've got a good sunny spot to plant it. So it's a tough question to answer. Why doesn't it bloom? Of course, sometimes they just take time.
Right.
Just take time. You may want to wait it out another, you know, always say, wait one more spring and see what happens. But that's probably about the best we can do.
Okay. So thank you so much for sending that text
in. We appreciate it.
Hey, we got a text in from Bob. He says, Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
I have several agaves around my house. Unfortunately, they have all incurred the wrath of the cold weather. Aw. Can I cut them back now, or should I just plan on replacing
them?
Well,
I would do what we've kind of talked about all show today. I really would wait just a little bit. Wait till you get into March and then do some cutting back. And see what happens. I would think they may not make it, but I don't think pruning them back right now is really going to help. One of the reasons we don't prune back now is if you have any plant and you start pruning it back now, then, of course, we got 70-degree weather coming next week. It could easily put on new growth. But then that new growth is so tender, late February, even March, maybe 1st of April, we have some very cold weather. it'll knock it back down, and that is not good for the plant. So we kind of wait it out just a little bit and not do any pruning for a while.
Okay.
I think that's important.
And I have a question for you. What about watering the lawns and things like that right now? Because I've seen a lot of different things online about what people are doing. And with the cold and the hot and the cold, what are your recommendations for that?
That really is one of the questions of the day. That really is.
I'm such a rookie at all this stuff.
I wrote it down. Water.
Oh, I did.
Water.
Great minds think alike, right?
No, exactly. No, with the cold weather past.
It's confusing. What do you do?
Water.
Because I saw a thing on television, I thought of you because they said, be sure and heavily water your plants before a freeze.
And after.
And you had said that.
I'd say after also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at this 32 degrees that may be coming on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, tomorrow, I think the rain chance that, I think it was Channel 3 was saying, is about 70%. So, I want to water the lawn and the plants. But if we're going to have a good 70%, maybe a little slow rain, that might take care of it. But if the rain doesn't come, get past that 32-degree night, and the next day, that would probably be, Friday, let's water the lawn, water all the plants. And if the forecast changes, it's not going to have this freeze, and it's not going to rain much, I wouldn't hesitate to water right now. Go out and water the lawn. But you have to, as part of watering the lawn, if you have a sprinkler system, go test it out. Don't just turn it on to go back into the house because it could have had some freeze damage to the system. And you need to identify, go check all your sprinkler heads,
mm-hmm.
be sure none of the pipes have burst. Check it out, and then let's water. Because I think water is very, very important. Before we get to Friday, even before, I would water. Very important. Deep.
Okay.
Water deep. Just so it all gets down into the roots. And I think that would be the best thing to do.
Yeah, because it seems to me to be counterintuitive to get everything wet before it freezes.
Yeah, but yeah, that's okay, though. No,
you don't need to do that.
No. You need those healthy roots on that plant. And that water is what you need.
Well, let me just do a disclaimer. Disregard anything I say.
Wait a minute. Let me make a note of that.
Make a note of this because
disregard.
A few years ago, we had a freeze when I had my house. I was sharing it during the break. We were laughing because I had a sprinkler system. Didn't realize the freeze was coming. Forgot to turn it off. It then covered everything in my yard with a beautiful spray of water, which immediately froze and killed everything.
Icicles hanging down.
Oh, I was mortified. Yeah,
exactly.
It was awful.
Yeah.
It was so. Don't listen to me. Listen to Mike Wiggins.
Yeah, but the water is very important.
Yes.
Before and after. In my opinion.
Yes.
And this has been a long stretch.
A long stretch.
So I think we really do need to concentrate on the water.
So then now in terms of the season and blooming plants and things like that, the people that have the camellias and the roses and all that, what is your advice on that with this kind of weather?
Well, it depends. The roses are probably going to be fine. As a matter of fact, it's going to be time to prune the roses. Here's your question of the day. When do we prune our roses?
Right. February 15th.
Yay!
Got it.
Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. Valentine's Day is a good way to remember.
Exactly. It doesn't have to
but
be
But even
exactly.
now you're saying, because you had said earlier, maybe to wait just a little bit.
No.
The roses, go ahead.
Let's go ahead and prune the roses. That's important. All the other plants, I shouldn't say all the other plants, but most of the other plants, we're going to wait. Just wait to see what's alive and what's dead. And remember, do your scratching on the limbs, and you'll be able to see, hopefully, that it's green. If it's brown, scratch a little lower. If it's still brown,
that's your answer.
Maybe time to redo.
Okay, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. Just a few minutes left. We're going to take a break, so if you've got a text, get it in now so we can get to you. Oh, Mike,
No, go ahead. I'll get you when we get back.
Okay, we'll be back in just a minute. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line. Mike Wiggins in here. You got a couple things to wrap up this morning to tell everybody, Mike.
Right. And you mentioned camellias a minute ago, and a lot of people have wrapped up their camellias. It's time to take it off. Now, once again, check that Thursday night low, 32. You could leave them on. You could leave it on, but I want to get them off as quick as possible. If some of this wrapping is plastic, get it off pretty quick, because once we kind of start inching up in temperature, it can literally burn that plant up. So that needs to come off. But camellias, if you are wrapped in a sheet, you could probably leave it on till, say, the weekend. But I would sure get it off as soon as I can and water it so good. Just really, really water it. And there are a couple other things that we probably need to look at insofar as reacting to this stretch of cold. We've talked about split bark, and we won't be able to really tell that till later. Talked about pruning, cool it. Just don't do it yet. Talked about water, as soon as you can, get that water on there. One thing we didn't talk about, with all the wind,
a lot
of the mulch has blown away. So think quickly about remulching any of your beds that where the mulch is gone. Pine straw is great. You know, one of my favorite people in town that sell pine straw is Lucky's Pine Straw over on Davis, right down from Bailey's. Absolutely. So remulch if you can. Rake the leaves. Obviously, the wind blew off what leaves were remaining. But most people would say get those leaves off the yard because the sun's not going to get into your grass and help it all recover and come out of dormancy if you've left a big mat of leaves on it. So rake the leaves. As we also said, there's another thing on my list that's important. Check that sprinkler system. Don't wait. Don't wait till, it's next Monday, it's going to be 70 degrees, I'll flip it on. Go test it this weekend. See if everything's working right. The pre-emergence, we've talked about that. That's real important to kind of get that on pretty quickly. I think maybe if we wait for another week or so, we'll be fine. But don't wait much longer than that. So that's kind of a list of things we need to do. Hopefully, Meg, our show moving forward, we can do tips for spring.
Hey, I know. It'd be wonderful. I can't wait.
Exactly. And really, one other thing, a couple things I wanted to mention, and we just don't have time today. But roses, time to order your roses or buy your roses. Buy number one grade roses, preferably Weeks roses or Jackson and Perkins roses. Plant them in the full sun. Don't overdo. Don't go out and buy two dozen roses. Buy you a couple. See if you really like it, because roses can be a great hobby, but they do take work.
They're also high maintenance.
Also, trees. It's time to plant trees. We're going to talk about that next week.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mike. You just have so much wisdom about everything. We so appreciate all your information. You can always listen to it again on our podcast, which is right on our website at newsradio923.com. Just click on podcast and you'll see the Garden Line. Click on that and you can hear every episode that Mike has ever done.
Oh, no. No, nobody.
This is Pep Talk. Thanks again.